There's all your answers. He wouldn't be the seed of man. God would be his father in a miraculous way through a virgin at a given time in history for that reason. So when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, all of this now was converging on him, brothers and sisters, and the Bible was becoming alive. The Word was becoming flesh. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The custom, according to Ezekiel, of course, we won't turn this up either, the custom was, brothers and sisters, to wash the children when they were born and to rub them down with salt and wrap them tightly in these swaddling clothes. Almost as if Mary was preparing him for his death at his birth. Because when they went into that tomb, the clothes that he was wearing at that time, as a grown man, of course, then, were all there lying there. God didn't want them. They were there all lying, and the napkin around his head wrapped in a place by itself, as if God said, you can have that. And now, brothers and sisters, he's washed with greater than salt. Salt's a symbol of permanency. God's washed him with salt. He's wrapped him in the permanency of his own nature. That's what he's done, and clothed him with majesty and honor and glory that he richly deserves. And there he is at the Father's right hand. No longer do we know him after the flesh. Mary is but now woman. Woman. Not mother. Woman. Because human relationships are gone. And he is God's son in every sense of that word. But here's his humble beginning, which Luke is recording for us. And when she brought forth that firstborn son, brothers and sisters, it says, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. A manger. The only other occurrence of the word, it's rendered by the word stall, where of course the oxen was to eat its corn and so forth, and the ass, it's the hay that was put there for it. This is the birth of God's son. If you want to know what that means, brethren and sisters, don't need me to tell you. Go out on a starry night, look up there, or anywhere if you like. Go and look at the mountains, look at the world, look at the sea, and think who it was who was born on that day. It was the Son of Almighty God in a stable, in a manger. A humble birth you could never have imagined greater than that. He was numbered with the transgressors. His beginning, brethren and sisters, was with the lowest. And there was no room for him in the inn. Never was there? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And it was almost as if that his birth in that manger, when they couldn't find anywhere to put him, was an index of his whole life. Nobody wanted him. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Son of Man hasn't got anywhere to lay his head. And if it hadn't been for a little group of women that Luke is particular about to tell us, he would have gone and starved perhaps. Nobody wanted him. From the time of his birth it was ever so, brothers and sisters. I haven't got time to draw a lot of these things out for you, but let me tell you something about that inn. You know, there was an inn just outside of Bethlehem in the Old Testament scripture. Did you know that? We won't turn all these references up, but there was. There's a special inn there. It was called the Habitation of Chinham. The Habitation of Chinham. That was the name of it. Jeremiah 47 verse 21 calls it that. It was a little inn just by Bethlehem. Why do they call it that? Because you see, brethren and sisters, Chinham was the son of Barzillai the Gileadite. Let me tell you what happened. David went across fleeing from Absalom, his own boy. And he got across on the other side of Jordan. And Barzillai the Gileadite showed him great kindness. A great old man, very old man, showed David wonderful kindness, so that when David had come to the power of the throne, he said to this man, you come with me, he said, I'll look after you, I'll feed you, and he'll give you a nice home. He said, no, David, too old. But he said, look after my son. His son's name was Chinham. And so they made this inn in Chinham, where he lived. And you see, brethren and sisters, this is the point. This is the point that Luke is making by that inn. That inn in Bethlehem was originally erected out of gratitude. Gratitude to the old man that had helped him. And there the Lord Jesus Christ lay as a little baby boy in an inn that David had constructed out of gratitude. And nowhere in the land, as the son of David, did he find gratitude from anybody. Oh, people came and they fell at his feet, they worshipped him. They said how wonderful it was to have their sight back, that had been blind. The lame praised him and leapt before him. women sang his praises, and in the end, they're all in the streets of Jerusalem shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Look at the base ingratitude that was shown. Yet he was born in that inn, the habitation of Shinhan. Come to verse 8, brethren and sisters, about the shepherds and the revelation that came to them concerning the birth of this one. When am I going to stop, Brother Chairman? That's his court bill 11. Pardon? A little past what? 10:02. Is that right? Amazing. Strike. Don't matter. I'm having a ball, really. Look, in verse 8, we come here to the shepherds. Now it says, in the same country, shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The margin says they were night watchmen. They were down in Bethlehem, brethren and sisters. Let me quickly tell you about that. In the Jewish Mishnah, which is a commentary on the law, a Jewish commentary on the law, they said, and this was right, that they kept the sheep in the vicinity of Bethlehem, which they used in the sacrifices in the temple at Jerusalem. And that would, of course, be right, because it would be close by. So in that very field where sheep were taken for sacrifice in the temple, there were night watchmen watching over that flock. That was the place, by the way, in the area there, that's where they called Migdol Eder, the Tower of Eder. That was a tower, brethren and sisters, which in the days of Micah, referring back to Jacob's day, there was a tower back in Jacob's day where the shepherds would stand on that tower at night, watching over their flock, or during the day, keeping them from harm and danger from the wolves and the predators that were all around the place. The Migdol Eder. And the Jewish Mishnah said that because of the prophecy of Micah, the first intimation that Messiah would come would be from the Tower of Migdol. And they were right. But when it came, they didn't believe it. Their own exposition of Micah had said that. They had written it up in their expositions, that when the time came for Messiah to appear, the Tower of Migdol Eder, the Tower of Eder, would be the place where it would be announced from. And that's exactly what happened, and they didn't believe it. Because, you see, they expected to see him coming, riding on a white charger, with a glittering sword, cutting every Roman throat in sight. They didn't expect to see him laying in a manger. But the shepherds, brethren and sisters, were wonderful people. It says the glory of the Lord shone about them. They were subjects of the Shekinah glory of Yahweh. The word Shekinah means to dwell. And he came and dwelt around them in his glory, and they were enveloped in that glory. That was a reserved for special occasions, like the opening of Solomon's temple. But here the humble shepherds, brethren and sisters, out in the fields, were now enshrined in the Shekinah glory of God. And they were to hear this wonderful message, and a wonderful message it was. And the message was this: and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I have brought you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." I've got about 3 minutes. I've got to tell you this. Look, do you know that word good tidings is straight out of Isaiah's prophecy? I won't turn all this up, brethren and sisters, but listen. Isaiah 40 says, "Lift up your voice with good tidings. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Isaiah 52 said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings of peace, that publisheth salvation." And Luke in his gospel keeps telling us that. Gabriel says to Zacharias concerning the birth of John the Baptist, "I've come with good tidings," quoting Isaiah 40 verse 9. And when Mary had become pregnant with the Son of God, when Gabriel said to her that she was the woman through whom the Son would be born, it says that Mary ran with haste to the hill country of Judah. How beautiful were those feet upon the mountains that came to the cities of Judah and said, "Behold your God." And Mary ran with haste, says Luke, upon the hills, and she came to the city of Judah. Isaiah 40 verse 9. And when the birth of John was brought about, it says, "And these things were noised abroad through all the cities of Judah." And Luke is telling us that here is the fulfillment of the gospel of Isaiah. "Behold your God." Because Jesus Christ was the manifestation of his Father. And so these angels were told these wonderful tidings. And brethren and sisters, listen to the tidings. Now just listen to the tidings. "Unto you a son is born,
to me.
And you, a son is born. He's our boy. Now, what's meant by that? I'll tell you what's meant by that. In the land that you lived under the law of Moses, and you had a boy, your firstborn boy, you had to take him to the temple and give him to God. He didn't belong to you. God said, I want him. And you had to give him. But God graciously made a provision for you to redeem him back. God didn't want human sacrifice from us. And when God had got those boys and they were his property, he gave them back, brothers and sisters. He made arrangements for that. But here's a boy that's his boy. We can't make laws about that. But God's graciously given him to us and didn't take him back. Now you work it out. You work the good tidings out. We had a son and we go ahead and give him to God. The law said that. And by God's goodness, he gave him back. Here's another boy. It's not ours, it's his. And he says he's yours. Not by law, but by grace. Brothers and sisters, we can't give him back. Not because we're not good, because we're not good. We've got to keep him because we're sinners. We dare not give him back. God gave us our sons back because he's good. We've got to keep his because we're sinners. Abraham's son was spared, but the ram of God was caught in a thicket. Caught in a thicket. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And the tangle of our sins, brethren and sisters, caught him. There was no getting him back. If that's not good tidings, I've never heard it. I don't know what they are. They are wonderful tidings. Wonderful tidings. And do you know, when the angels had said, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour which is the Christ, that was a quotation of Isaiah 9. And then it says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel, there was only one there telling them that, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Brethren and sisters, you go back and have a look at Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is given, says the prophet. And then what does it say at the end? It says this. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. And there they were. Suddenly in the heavens there was a multitude of the heavenly host. The zeal of God. God was gracious and zealous to give us that son and sent his army to supervise the gift. But nobody could ever take him away from us. The army of God protected that, brethren and sisters. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, couldn't I ask for 12 legions of angels, and would he not give it? Wouldn't he? Would you dare to say that he wouldn't? But he didn't. Because that same army was there to supervise the gift that had to be kept, brethren and sisters, because he was to be the Saviour, Christ the Lord. Thank God, brethren and sisters, for that wonderful event in history and for the birth of that son who belongs to us and how desperately we need him.